Prayer. Prayer is a real problem. You see, half of us probably don't pray as much as the other half think we do. And most of us pray for things we probably shouldn't be praying for. And all of us, and I mean all of us, have unanswered prayer. And for every one of us who lives with unanswered prayer, we've met someone who credits their pay raise at work to an act of God, who credits the fact that their sports team won to an act of God. And sometimes we thank God when we are not selected to do things that we don't want to do, like when we get out of jury duty. And some people have an expectation that God should give them everything that they ask for. Wealth, status, fame, the list goes on. People want to believe in a God who will come down to earth and answer prayer. Any prayer. Of course, I'm skirting around a difficult issue here. There are times when we pray, and we really do need that prayer answered. When we are deathly ill and in need of healing. When natural disaster strikes and we seek mercy. During times of war and we ask for peace. Prayer is a real problem. And I think Jesus knew it. Our gospel lesson this morning deals with a parable about prayer, the parable of the persistent widow. It's 8 verses long, and it's loaded with imagery. I think this parable is telling, as it shows that perhaps Jesus may have had his doubts about his disciples, the church, about us. Consider, if you will, the first and the last sentence found in this scripture lesson. It begins, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." And it ends, "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" I find these two sentences that Jesus chose to wrap around this parable telling. You see, I think that Jesus knew that prayer was hard, that at times our life of faith can be difficult, that when we need answers the most is when we are least likely to receive them. And friends, I think the question we need to ask ourselves in light of prayer, in light of unanswered prayer, is how does that last sentence in this gospel lesson reflect in our own lives? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Even in the face of seemingly unanswered prayer, do we stop praying or do we persist? When we continue to pray to God, we affirm that we believe that God is indeed present and at work in this world. And so prayer really does matter. Now, the parable that Jesus tells is really rather scandalous. A widow is asking a judge for justice. The judge does not fear God and cannot be bothered with the widow. And he finally relents because she's starting to make him look bad. He doesn't give in because he cares about her concern. He cares about his image, his reputation. And the scandal is that the widow is one of the Israelites who should have received justice first. Only the orphan gets more priority than the widow. So for the judge to ignore her is a scandal. You can imagine that as Jesus tells this parable, there must have been some laughter or some snickering or some tsk-tsk-tsk at the judge. But eventually the judge relents and justice is granted. And Jesus tells the disciples, God will bring about justice. And there is the key point. Justice. God's justice. You see, this parable is about prayer, about persistent prayer. But it is also about God's justice, not answering every random prayer that is brought forward. There is a scene in the movie Bruce Almighty. Bruce is given God's powers by God. And Jim Carrey, who plays Bruce in the movie, is tired of getting all of these prayer requests, kind of like the judge in our parable. And so Bruce goes to his prayer inbox, which is displayed as email in the movie. And he answers all the prayers. And he answers them all by saying yes. And then he goes out for the night. And as he goes on his way, we catch snippets of conversation. You look taller. Why, thank you for noticing. I won the lottery. Really? So did I. The Maple Leafs won the Stanley Cup. Yeah, that one's not in the movie, but you get the point. Not all prayer should be answered in the affirmative. Prayer is hard. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not about to propose how you should pray. Jesus provides a model for us in the Lord's Prayer. I'm not going to suggest that there is a right way and a wrong way to pray. I don't think that there is a right or a wrong way. There's no correct posture, no positioning of hands or words, which is better or worse than anything else. I think where we stumble with prayer is in what we pray for. In preparing for today, I took a look at my own prayer life. And I realized that sometimes when I pray, I ask for things. I ask God for a result. I'm looking for something to happen in my life. Maybe I want to feel healthier, to feel better rested. Perhaps I just want to make it through the day unscathed. And perhaps I ask God for something material. In short, I'm looking for a result. What I neglect to do is to invite God on the journey with me. Instead, I ask for what I think I need, and I hope that God will deliver. But I don't really engage God. I don't invite God to participate in what I'm asking for. And that's my loss. You see, God loves to go on journeys with us. God traveled with the Israelites for 40 years, traveled with them, provided for them, even when they didn't want him around. We follow a God who wants to be involved in our lives. Why else send Jesus to dwell with us on earth? If God wasn't interested in joining us on our journey, God would have found another way to provide for our salvation. God enjoys journeying with us. And it is to our own detriment when we fail to invite God along. God wants us to knock on the door and pray, to pray persistently, to pray passionately. Pray that God walks with you in life, that through the dialogue of prayer, God will be more fully revealed in life. Pray not for what you want, but for what you need. Theologian John Buchanan writes, "I had two good and loving parents. They did not give me everything I wanted. I asked for a horse, a dog, a two-wheeled bicycle before I was old enough to ride it. One Christmas, I had my heart set on a toy drum set I found in the Sears catalog. My requests were heard and turned down. In retrospect, I understand that I received not always what I most wanted, but what I most needed." God's like that too. God gives us what we need, but God doesn't always give us the wisdom to realize that in the moment. In Isaiah, we read, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways." And we forget that sometimes. In fact, we probably forget that most of the time. But when we are in the middle of a crisis, it is really hard to stop and to see things through God's eyes, to try to get a glimpse of God's plan. All that we know is that we are in pain, that we are in need of help, that we are in need of seeing some aspect of God hearing and answering our prayer. And when that doesn't happen, when we don't see that, it can be heart-wrenching. When I think of who Luke wrote this gospel for, and of the early church that first read these parables, they must have prayed. They must have prayed fiercely for things they never received, for safety, for protection from persecution and death. It took a long time for those things to come, some 400 years before the Christian faith was recognized by the Roman Empire. The early church did not get what it prayed for. It got what it needed, the tenacity to survive, the loving attention of God that infused their spirits and allowed those early Christians to hold fast to their faith so that we can be sitting here today. Friends, we have with us today a parable about prayer, but also about justice, God's justice. And there is one thing we can be sure about, that God will be on the side of justice, that God will be on the side of the oppressed, that God will be on the side of those with no power, influence, status, or voice. And as we pray to God, I pray that we invite God to journey with us in our lives, that we recognize that God is interested in relationships. Friends, we look back and we can see how God has witnessed and worked through this community of faith. And as we move forward as a community of faith, what is the prayer that is on our lips? Do we just pray that God will keep our doors open and the lights on longer so that we can grow? Or do we pray that God empower us to go out and do God's justice in the community, wherever and however that might be found? Friends, let's invite God to journey with us. Let's do so with passionate, persistent prayer. Let's pray, knowing that God will always hear the silent cries of our hearts, that God will answer those prayers and will provide for us, will provide the church and the world with what it needs. We have but to be faithful to the task, to be persistent in our prayer. Amen.